Luke chapter 10, verse 25, let's stand. This is a story about the Good Samaritan. And behold, in verse 10, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself. He could quote scripture. And verse 28, And he said unto him, Jesus said, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, so his true nature came out, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. That was the preacher. And likewise a Levite, probably a deacon, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, a good for nothing, as far as the Jews were concerned, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and sent him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which of now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go thou and do likewise. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Draw us closer to Christ. Make us more like him. And God, make our living so effective as that others can see Christ in us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there's a number of participants in this story. The lawyer, he was the seeker. He was the one asking the question. But I'm wondering, did he want to hear the truth? Or did he want something that would be self-approving unto himself? I think we'll find out as we go through. There was a certain man, a needy man, because the thieves came and robbed him. Then there's 3 in this group, the robbers that were the thieves, the priest, and the Levites. So we have a certain man, he was a needy man. We have the robbers, the priests, and the Levites, and I designated them as takers. And then the Samaritan come along, and he's the giver. The giver of his time, the giver of his wealth, the giver of his emotion and everything about it. And we're going to see what the Good Samaritan's all about. Now, some of the particulars of each. There was a certain man with certain needs. And the world is full of people with needs. Physical needs and financial needs. We have them on every hand. And I hope that when you see people in need, that you have an open pocketbook. If you do, you'll find out, number one, that's what a Christian ought to do. We ought to be givers, not takers. And number 2, when you give, God replaces whatever you give, usually as much, if not more, than what you put out to help someone without expecting anything in return. You don't say, okay, God, look what I've done. Now, what are you going to do for me? No, you do it for the contentment of serving God and expressing a godly attitude. And then their physical, financial needs, these are all temporal needs. But they are needs. And then there's spiritual needs. Everyone has spiritual needs. Our neighbors, our loved ones, our enemies, our friends, everybody has a spiritual need. We are spiritual beings. We were created that way. And those are eternal needs. They can only be met by one way, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you and I are stewards of that message to get it out so people know there is a way to have your sins forgiven. And one of the results of having your sins forgiven is contentment, compassion, concern for others. But it's in working in you. You can't explain it. You can't take it out and give it to somebody else. It's directly from God to you. And when you've got it, you know it. Then there's the lawyer. I've worked with lawyers for 40 years. There are some good lawyers. Few and far between, but there are some. But the profession. Well, I won't go there. The lawyer, this particular lawyer, was self-centered, self-controlled, because what was his question to the Lord? What shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, there ain't a thing in this world that we can do to gain eternal life on our own merits. It just isn't possible. Jesus Christ died on the cross voluntarily before the world was ever created. It was established that the Son of God would come, be born, and live and die. That's why throughout the Old Testament, every Old Testament, almost every chapter in the Old Testament has some kind of reference to the Lord Jesus Christ that was fulfilled when he was here on the earth for 3.5 years. Amen? Amen. He asked, what shall I do? The reason is he thought, as a child. Now, some of us are of generations. Some of you young people are not going to understand what I'm about to say. But some of us were from generations that you did right or you did wrong. When you did right, you got praised. And parents, that's something that we ought to work at. A lot of us were very faulty at it. In times. But if you do wrong, you get the belt or the switch. And we knew for doing wrong, there was a punishment for wrong. And America needs to realize right now, for the ungodliness and the worldly things that's going on, there is coming a payday someday. There's going to be judgment on this earth. And God is going to take us that are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our home is in heaven. And thank God when he comes for us, we'll go, not on our merit. It's not, Lord, look what I did, but it's look what Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago. My full confidence is in what he did back there. There's a man from a West Coast Baptist college that has written a little booklet. Maybe some of you have seen it. The title of it is Done, D-O-N-E. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished. There is no other payment for sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we have the priest, the religious leader. Not all religions are godly religions. As a matter of fact, I would say in the world, Most religion is ungodly religion. If they do not abide by the Bible and stand for the things in the Bible, they have given in to the will of Satan, and they're promoting maybe a semi-truthful gospel. I don't know. That'll be for God to judge when we get to heaven. Individual people that I meet, I cannot judge their salvation. When we knock on the door and witness to people and ask them, have you been saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. And I say, do you know 100% you're saved? Well, I think I am. You know, I don't know. I want to give them the pure, straight gospel. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's God's word. And most religions, including a lot of Christianity, has what must I do? Well, you got to be baptized. You got to join the church. You got to give this up. You got to give that up. You got to do. There ain't no giving that you can give that gets you one step closer to God in salvation. Now, there's things we give up that gets us closer to God in fellowship. And there are things like that, but that has nothing to do with salvation. So the priest, the religious leader, he had no care for the true needs, material needs of the people he saw. He had no care for others, the spiritual needs. Here was an opportunity to come. And the man had just been robbed and beaten up and was lying on the street. And here comes a preacher that could have ministered to him and helped him like the Samaritan did and encouraged him to come to Christ or to come to the way. At that time, they were still the Jewish way, but the way that God had set up. But instead, he walked by on the other side. He's a Samaritan. He's not one of us. And so he had no concern about their needs. So I would say this would be a false preacher. The next one, the Levite, the one assisting the preacher, the priest, maybe a deacon. Deacons, raise your hand. No, don't. Okay. We got good deacons. Except Brian, I thought he was going to sleep a few minutes ago. It's been a long day, huh, bud? Okay. Oh, you're not a deacon, so go ahead and snooze. Okay. The rest of you deacons perk up. Okay. But these were the helpers of the religious leaders, and sort of like father, like son. And he came and looked and said, not my responsibility. So he went the other way. He looked, but no spiritual insight in this man, no compassion, and no concern over the Samaritan. How often do we walk by people? And this day and age, we see some real things on the street. And instead of saying, God save them, God work in their heart. Man, I'm glad I'm not like them. No, you've never said that, have you? But we need to have compassion and concern. They are where they are because they have no knowledge of the truth. And if we don't take it to them, where are they going to hear it? They need to see it in our lives. They need to hear it from our tongue so that they can know. And then the last man, the Samaritan, he's the one showing compassion, concern. We don't know what the guy was that was lying on the street. Whether I think I just called him a Samaritan a while ago. But we really don't know what he is. He could have very well been a Jew, just as much as the priest and the Levite. I'm sorry I missed that. But here comes the Samaritan now, the one who is supposedly anti-God, anti-God's word, unacceptable in the things of God. I compare this to sort of a faithful church member, the Good Samaritan. And we ought to all be Good Samaritans. He saw the need. He didn't turn his head. He didn't go the other way. He didn't say somebody else will take care of him. He looked and he saw. When he saw the need and went to help, he disrupted his journey. He was headed somewhere. We don't know how important it was where he was going, but he saw a greater need than him getting where he was going. He did what was needed. He bound up the wounds of the man on the street. He provided for the needs out of his own pocket. Not only did he pay a few pennies and go on his way and said, "Man, my job is done. Boy, look at what I did. God, did you see that?" It was long-term care. Said to the innkeeper, "Take care of him. Give him what he needs. And when I come again, I will repay." I don't want to tell you stories, but I can brag on my God that he more than gives me back anything I ever give out. Usually more. Sometimes not even as much. But he gives me contentment in my heart, satisfaction, feeling the love of God and compassion in my heart and life. Now, the next thing, we see praise and promotion by Jesus. Jesus asked the lawyer, "Who was the neighbor?" Now, Jesus knew the answer, but who was the neighbor to this man lying on the street in need, wounded? Jesus acknowledged the righteousness of the Samaritan. Here was a man that probably should have crossed the street and gone on his way and paid no attention if this was a Jewish man. Maybe he didn't even know if he was a Jew or not. Who knows? We'll find out when we get to heaven. God acknowledged the righteous act. God's satisfying acts come from the heart. It's not just opening the pocketbook. It starts in the heart. If your heart's not right, you probably got a padlock on your pocketbook. Also, to serve and honor God. We do what we do not to buy his favor. We do what we do because God's word says, thou shalt not. I realize there's some gray areas in the Bible. There's a lot of Bible principles that will help us make decisions on what we ought to do and not do. There's a lot of things in our lives right now that were not around when the Bible was written. But I'll guarantee you, if the Bible was written today, there'd be a lot more, thou shalt not. So we honor God by doing the good things, by being the good Samaritan, not to buy his favor, but to express his love. By doing so, he condemned the actions of the others. The lawyer, the priest, the Levite, the robbers, thieves, They were all takers. And in this world, there are a lot of takers. And that's something that makes it very difficult as a child of God, knowing when to give and keep giving. But I would much rather give more than what I should have given than to hold back more than what I should not have. Because it's still in God's hand. Okay? But when you're giving, you have to realize who it is, especially if it's somebody you're dealing with long term. I will not give people money that are on drugs or that I think and see that they're going to go out and spend it on alcohol and things. But if it's a case where they need financial help to pay the electric bill, to buy some groceries, usually what I'll do if I find out that's what they need, and if any of you have been through Hymera, we are one complete town now with a Dollar General 3 blocks from my house. If we get a little family-type restaurant in Hymera, other than coming to church, I'll never leave town again. But sometimes it's smarter to supply the physical need than the financial need, because you know that what they need gets in their hands, in their house, in their stomach, and whatever the case might be, and help them out by being a good Samaritan. Jesus posed the question for the lawyer then. Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? One must be open to the voice of God. That's why you don't just go out with your billfold open and say, okay, who needs it? Come and get it. You got to have wisdom and understanding, and that comes from God's word. I have people in Hymera that I've helped, and I'll continue to help. I've had some that I've helped, and for biblical reasons, I felt I didn't cut them off and say, I'm not going to help you anymore, but I just say I'm not able to when they keep coming back. Had one guy, he's gone now, but he used to stop at my house about every 2 to 3 weeks, and then he moved away and he'd come back about every month. But every time I saw him pulling my driveway, I always knew he was going to have a financial need. He had a job, but it was always, I need money for somebody else. And I just got to where I didn't trust him. Okay? So you got to use some common sense with being a good Samaritan. Open to the voice of God. This means you need to know the Word of God. Yes. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's work. And it's ongoing. It's never ending. I study more now in the Bible after preaching it for 40 years than I ever have before. And the blessings that come from it and the opening of by the Holy Spirit of things that I see now that I never saw before. So we need the Word of God, and then we need to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit that will direct our hearts to all truth. Okay? Now, we've got to be careful of evil spirits and false spirits. But when you know God's Word, you know Christ, and you try to stay in a close relationship with the Lord, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you know who's talking. when an evil spirit comes, you finally get to a point in life, you know who it is. And you say, depart from me in the name of Christ. Get out of my life. Leave me alone. And he has no choice, the devil or any of his imps. When you, by the name of Christ, expel them out of your life, they have to leave. They cannot stay. And that's when you need, God, I need your wisdom. I need the work of the Holy Spirit. The lawyer's answer when Jesus asked, of these three, which of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor? The lawyer's answer. He said, he that showed mercy on him, the giver. Not the takers, but the giver. I had a blessing this week. Angela may have told me this. Somebody else. There was a lady in town. I could tell you her name, and I'm not really sure who she is, but was asked if she knew Joe Asbury. And she said, oh, yeah. And she had a very complimentary thing to say about me. I hope I have a good testimony in town. I've tried. I've worked at it. I pass out tracts. I witness to people. I invite them to Sunday school and church. Many of them many times over. But this lady recognized the spirituality in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. The world recognizes goodness in God's people. The opposite of that is, we can say we're God's people, but if we do evil or wickedly, they see that also. And when they see that, they magnify it over and over. You say you're a Christian, but what about this? What about that? Now, if they come after me, what about because of something good I've done, something biblical that I've done, I'll take whatever criticism comes. But I hope that they can never look at Joe Asbury and say, what about this you did? What about this you said? What about these people you ignored? I don't want to do that. True Christianity is a simple thing. It's to understand when the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and then do it. That's simple. Jesus' command, verse 37b of what we just read, then Jesus said unto him, go thou and do likewise. The calling of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Calling every one of us tonight, first of all, to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. To acknowledge that and to receive Him. The Bible says to as many as received Him. It's not just having a head knowledge, but when you receive Him, you have that heart knowledge inside. He gives eternal life. So that's the first thing, to make sure that we're saved. Second thing is to make sure that we're right with God and that we have those things that would be detrimental to our life to be disposed of. And then the third thing would be the addition of those things in our life, like this Good Samaritan, that would be a testimony to the love and the goodness of God. Amen. Let's bow. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would ask you to think on your own life. What do you think about Christ? What have you done with Him? How do you respond to Him? Lord, as Christians here, how do we live our life? Do we live as if this world is not my home? I'm just a passing through. God, help us to have that attitude. We get so accustomed to the things of the world that that's where our attention and our love. But your word says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is against the love of God. Help us to love you and serve you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.